This evening, we want to look at the parable of the unjust steward. It's also, I saw it's been called the parable of the shrewd accountant. You might want to keep your Bibles open to Luke chapter 16, because we're going to be going somewhat verse by verse, at least partway down through that. So Luke, keep your Bibles open to Luke chapter 16. From verse 1, we see Jesus was talking mainly to his disciples. Verse 1, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. But from verse 14, we see that the Pharisees were listening in. Verse 14, and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. So we can see that Jesus intended this parable mainly for his disciples, those that were followers of him. But he was aware that the seeds would also fall on the Pharisees who were listening in to the conversation. And as we look at this parable, we see a quick chain reaction of events. Event number one is the accusation and firing of the steward. Verse 1 and 2, and he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Many households in Bible times, many households of wealth employed a steward. He was basically put in charge of the bank accounts and the affairs and transactions of the master. He was kind of like a manager. He paid expenses, he paid workers, he took money in that was due to the master. And though he was accountable to the master, he had much freedom. He had much flexibility in managing the money that had been entrusted to him. Well, one day, the rich man noticed his money had been wasted in a major way. We don't know, perhaps the steward would have bought things for himself. Perhaps he had lost money because he had invested it in a very unwise way. Anyways, money was gone, master was mad, accusation was made, steward was fired. And this brought about the second step, and that is the thinking and action of the steward. And this is really the central part of the parable. So I want to encourage us to try to really stay focused on this part. Verse 3, then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord has taken away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. What am I to do now? I soon won't have a job. I cannot dig. I'm too old to dig ditches to make money. And as far as begging, well, I'm too ashamed to beg. Notice his thoughts were about the future. What will things be like in the future? Verses 4 to 7. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou, my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. And he said to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. He took the money, the good that he was steward of, money that he had been entrusted with, And he gave it away, the goods. He gave the goods away. You only owe me half of the oil. You keep the rest. You are free from 50 measures of oil. You just keep it and enjoy it. You owe me 100 measures of wheat? Tell you what, we're going to make a deal. You only need to pay me 80. The other 20 you can just keep for yourself and forget about. I want to ask us, what was his motive for doing these good deeds? Why these thoughts and actions? It's all in verse 4. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. He wanted to make friends for after the end of his career. It was all about he was looking into the future. I can't get a job. I'm too old for that. I'm too ashamed to beg. Well, these people who I am treating so well, they will treat me well later. They will feed me. They will give me lodging. They will give me clothing. His thought process, his actions were all about the end being near and preparing for the future. So we saw the accusation and firing by the master. We saw the thinking and action by the steward. Thirdly, we see the strange reaction by the rich man. The first part of verse 8. And the Lord, talking about the rich man, commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Evidently, the Lord, which was talking about the master, the rich man, was a very shrewd man himself. He knew how to make money. He knew how to look after number one, after himself. He knew how to prepare for the future in a methodical, calculated fashion. And as he saw the actions of the steward that he had fired, he was amazed. I mean, this steward was so much like him. He was a man after his own heart. In fact, that's probably why he hired him in the first place. He took action today in preparation for the future. The master viewed the steward's actions as being wise. He was acting prudently, using foresight and forethought to gain advantage for his future. And even though he did not like losing that money, he still had to respect the shrewdness of his steward. But at the end of verse 8, we get the reaction of Jesus Christ. Jesus said at the end, the second part of verse 8, Jesus said, "For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." Jesus is saying there are two classes of people. There are children of this world, and there are children of light. The children of this world, which is the steward, are wiser in their dealings than are the children of light, Christians. Now notice Jesus, he was not giving approval to the stealing of the goods of the rich man. Jesus is only saying, sometimes people of this world show more insight and forethought and foresight than the children of the kingdom of God in regards to preparation for the future. Jesus was not complimenting the theft. Rather, he was lamenting the fact that the children of the kingdom are outdone by the children of this world in wisdom and prudence in preparation for the future. On one hand, Jesus highlights the children of this world. And on the other hand, Jesus highlights the children of God. And he says, in this generation, meaning now, the children of this world put more insight into the future, or at least what they think is the future, than the children of the light invest in what is their future. And maybe you say, well, Ray, I see people of the world, people of the world, I see them work hard and support their family and get ready for retirement. But I see Christians work just as hard providing for their families, providing for the future. That isn't what Jesus meant. He is saying that the world shows wisdom, prudence, preparing for the future here on earth by their care for money. But the Christian does not show that prudence in his use of money to prepare for after death. You see, the Christian's focus, the children of light, it's not to prepare mainly for retirement. The Christian's focus is not mainly to prepare for if our job gets terminated or we get laid off. The Christian's focus, the children of light, our focus is mainly to prepare for when we transfer from this life to an eternal life. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In Jesus' interpretation of the parable in verses 9 to 13, he lays out what I call God's social security plan for after death. God's social security plan for after death. Aspect number one, giving today equals relationships tomorrow. Verse 9. And I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, and the word fail means die, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting habitations. The New King James Version puts it, and I say to you, make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Or as a paraphrase put it, here's a lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your earthly possessions are gone, they will welcome you into an eternal home. The term unrighteous mammon is just contrasting our temporal, corruptible possessions to that which is holy and true riches. Luke 12, verse 33 shows that contrast. Sell what you have and give alms. Now that's our corruptible, unrighteous mammon. Give alms. Provide yourselves bags that wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. Jesus is saying here, remember how the steward gave away his master's money so he could have friends and possessions later. Well, you give away your molding money now, and you will have relationships in the future after death. If you make friends with your earthly man, and when you fail, when you die, you will have those friends greeting you as you enter into heaven. I want us to try to picture a believer giving sacrificially and giving anonymously to help a family in the household of faith who is in real need. Or maybe you want to picture a believer giving money to or goods to help a poor Christian family, say in Ukraine, who is struggling to heat their house or to buy food. Humanly speaking, they seem so foolish. Humanly speaking, it seems like they have lost in the exchange. Humanly speaking, it appears that an act of compassion has happened, but it will soon be forgotten. Now try to picture what Jesus is showing us here. See this poor believer that gave his goods away. See him passing away. See him entering heaven, or her entering heaven. See those Christians who he or she has never met before, welcoming him and embracing him with open arms, thanking him for the things that he or she has done. You see, this believer who gave everything away, or gave sacrificially, took action to prepare for the future. The steward in the parable, he gave away what had been lent to him by the rich man to prepare for the future. And the Christian in his story is to give away what has been lent to him to prepare for our future. I need to ask us a question. Will we have friends in heaven? How many will receive us into heaven? Heaven is not a zombie land. It is not a place where everything is deleted from our minds concerning events on earth. Believers will remember how other believers invested in them. How their house was heated because of the money you gave. How they had food to eat because you gave of your goods. They will remember, and these friends will greet you as you enter into heaven. Have you, the children of light, have you prepared for your future after death? Have you given to people in need to gain relationships after death? Aspect number two of God's Social Security plan. And this is this: faithfulness today equals huge responsibility tomorrow. But before we look at that, just keep that thought in your mind. I want to emphasize something about parables. Sometimes as we interpret a parable, we need to see when God wants us to contrast what is in the parable with the reality of what is true about God. For example, probably most of you remember the parable of the unjust judge. Remember this judge? He had no mercy. And the lady that was begging him, he would not give unto her. But she kept pleading. So finally, he gave to her. And the contrast there was that while this judge was unjust, God our Father is just, even though he still wants us to keep pleading. Now, in this parable before us, we see a contrast between the rich man in this parable and God the Father. The rich man lent his money to the steward. However, he didn't desire he give it away. He wanted the steward to use it to make the rich man a prophet. And herein lies the contrast. Our rich man, our Father in heaven, has lent us money and material goods. They are his. We are just the stewards. However, here's a contrast. He does want us to give them away. Even though the rich man in the parable wanted the steward to keep the goods, in contrast, God desires we give away. He does want us to give them to help others. And so keep that in mind as we look at verses 10 to 13. Like we said, aspect number two, faithfulness today equals huge responsibility tomorrow. Verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Anyone who has any material goods is part of a ministry. Yes, I realize it might be that which is least, like Jesus talks here about the least. Earthly goods that vanish, money that can corrupt. Yet you, each of you, are in charge of this little ministry. You can use these things the rich man gave you for your own satisfaction, or you can use these things the rich man gave you for others' benefits. The rich man, God the Father, lent them to you. You have to choose what you do with this little ministry. And verse 10 makes this promise. If you are faithful with this, the least, this small ministry, with unrighteous mammon, if you are faithful with this, then after you are terminated, after you're fired, using the terminology of the parable, after you're fired from this life, God will give you great responsibility. Your little ministry with earthly mammon, if you are faithful, equals a great ministry in the next life. I thought of the account of Joseph. Isn't Joseph in some ways a picture of this? Remember when he was in prison, he just had a little ministry. He had just a few prisoners to care for. He had just a few resources the keeper of the guard of the prison had lent to him to take care of the prisoners. He had just a little congregation to witness about his God. Yet Joseph was faithful in the least, in the little. And soon, because he was faithful, God made him ruler of Egypt next to the king. He now had all the riches of Egypt at his disposal. He was faithful in the little, and God gave him big responsibility. The amount of responsibility us, the saints, the children of light, the amount of responsibility we will have in the millennium and after, it's almost incomprehensible. And Scripture gives us just little hints of this. For example, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2 and 3. That's just a scripture. Whenever you read it, it just, man, isn't this amazing? Do you not know that the saints shall, what? Judge the world. And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge, what? Angels. How much more things that pertain to this life? Revelation 2, verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the, Steve said, nations. Wow. What a ministry the saints have, the children of light have to look forward to after they're terminated and fired from this life. When we visited Nicaragua some years ago, I was amazed at the monetary exchange rate. The exchange rate there was 16 to 1. In other words, one American dollar was worth 16 Nicaraguan dollars. $10 was worth 160 Nicaraguan dollars. You received so much for so little. And this is one of the messages of this parable. You, if you have been faithful in this little ministry of material goods, you give it away to help others. Well, heaven's exchange rate is out of this world. You will receive in exchange a ministry 100-fold. Question. Will you have big responsibility when you are fired from this earth? Picture yourself at the judgment seat of Christ. God is handing out positions of responsibility for the millennial kingdom. He gives some rulers over nations. He gives some roles over state, ruling to rule over states and provinces. Did you hear your name yet? Will you even get rule over a zip code? Were you faithless with money? Did we mess up in our little ministry? We will lose out in the future. We saw giving today equals relationships tomorrow. We saw faithfulness today equals huge responsibility tomorrow. The third aspect of God's Social Security plan is found in verses 11 and 12. Faithfulness today equals great riches tomorrow. Faithfulness today equals great riches tomorrow. Verses 11 and 12. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? If you haven't been, Jesus is saying, if you haven't been faithful with earthly, corruptible money, can you expect God to trust you with true riches in heaven? And the answer is no. But the inverse is also true. If you are faithful with what the rich man lends us today, then he will give you true riches that will be your own tomorrow. And perhaps you're thinking, Ray, Brother Ray, are you saying that when I use $10 that the rich man gives me, when I use this to help others, that God will exchange this in heaven for real riches? You're saying that God keeps track of my ministry with money, and someday when I check out of this life and I check into heaven, I'll find out how much I accumulated in real, true wealth. Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's what the Word of God is saying. If you are doubting me at all, I want you to listen to these scriptures just to see if what I'm saying adds up. Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in, where? Heaven. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Matthew 19, verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Then it says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold upon eternal life. Listen to this scripture. Luke 14, verse 12 and 13. When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. You see, when we give with the right motives, when we give out of the heart of love, God will recompense us. I want to note here, it is not the amount we give that will give us great riches. Rather, it is giving sacrificially that will give us the riches. Remember the account of the widow and the mites, the pennies that she threw into the treasury. And remember what Jesus said. He said, she has given more than those who threw in large amounts. What it is, it's all about sacrificial giving. Faithfulness with the rich man's money today is preparing for the future. Faithfulness with the rich man's money today equals great riches tomorrow. Question. Have you laid up riches in heaven? Have you prepared for after death? Do you realize that as you keep money and keep possessions, you actually lose an eternity? Have you faced the reality of the next life? Verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Either materialism will be our master and we will send God away, or else God will be our master and we will give our money away. We can't have it both ways. We can't love and hang on to our money and love and hang on to God. Who is our master? We saw this parable illustrates a worldly man preparing for the future in a worldly way by giving away the rich man's good so that he would be taken care of later. We saw that the children of light also are to prepare for the future. Our rich man wants us to give away sacrificially what we have to prepare for our future after death. We saw God's social security plan. Giving away equals, giving today equals relationships tomorrow. Faithfulness today equals huge responsibility tomorrow. Thirdly, faithfulness today equals great riches tomorrow. Two myths regarding money and heaven. First of all, the myth that we will all be treated equally in heaven. That is so false. It's true that we get there by the blood. That's the only thing that gets us there. That is true. But what we have there is based on our works. It's true we get there by the blood, but what we have there is by our works. Those who are faithful in giving, and it's not just giving, it's service, serving God, in exercising their gifts, and many other ways, they will be rewarded lavishly. Those who are unfaithful in giving and in service and in exercising their gifts, they will be rewarded to a much lesser degree. Sometimes we sing, must I be carried to the skies on cloudless beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Well, you might make it on your bed of ease, and they will make it as they sail through bloody seas. But those who faithfully fought the fight will have an exceedingly great reward compared to those who sailed there on a bed of ease. Jesus said he is going to prepare a room for us. Will our room look kind of bare compared to the room next to us? Myth number two. The myth that Christians should not do good works with the motive to receive a reward. The myth is that Christians should not do good works with the motive to receive a reward. I want to ask us, where in Scripture do we find that? The essence of faith, it says, faith is believing that God is and that he is a what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We should expect rewards. We should be looking forward to our rewards. Sure, we, as a Christian, and since God's our Father, we serve out of love. And we still serve because we, with the motive that we know our Father wants us to treat others with love. But the Christian still should be looking towards his rewards. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You know, to not look forward to our rewards is actually a lack of faith. You know, when we go about life, preparing for retirement, preparing for this and that, but don't prepare for after death, God is not pleased. He holds the rewards. God holds the rewards. They are designed by him. They are holy. They are of God. He desires we yearn for them and look for them. Are you prepared for the future? God, the rich man, has lent you money. Are you wise? Are you using it to gain relationships in heaven? Are you using it to gain responsibility in heaven? Are you using it to gain greater riches in heaven? May God bless each of us as we try to serve him, as we take the things he has given us and use it for his honor and glory.